This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bean Cooley, editor of the website TV Worth Watching, sitting in for Terry Gross. When our rock critic, Ken Tucker, compiled his top 10 albums of 2013, leading that list was the latest by Jason Isbell. Tucker said, "No music moved me more, did more to make me think about life a little bit differently than Jason Isbell's continually revelatory album, Southeastern." It cohered as a statement about love, regret, loneliness, and joy. It was self-conscious without being self-absorbed, unquote. Many of Isbell's fans first heard his work with the southern rock band The Drive-By Truckers. When Terry Gross spoke with him earlier this year, she asked him to bring his guitar along. To start, she asked him to perform Cover Me Up, the song that opens the new album, his first since getting sober.
Heart on the run, keeps a hand on the gun, you can't trust anyone. I was so sure what I needed was more, tried to shoot out the sun. And days when we raced, we flew off the page, such damage was done. I made it through, 'cause somebody knew I was meant for someone. So go leave your boots by the bed, we ain't leaving this room. 'Cause someone chop wood, so cover me up and know you're enough to use me for good. Put your faith to the test when I tore off your dress in Richmond on high. But I sobered up, I swore off that stuff forever this time. And the old lovers sing, I thought it'd be me who helped him get. Never seen till you came along. So go hang your dress up to dry, we ain't leaving this room. The Percy Priest breaks open wide and the river runs through. This house on the stones like a piece of driftwood. Cover me up and know you're enough to use me for good. Someone needs medical help or the magnolias bloom. It's cold in this house and I ain't going out to chop wood. So cover me up cover me up and know you're enough to use me for good.
Oh, it's beautiful. That's Jason Isbell performing a song that's the lead song on his new album, and that song was called Cover Me Up. Jason Isbell, thank you so much for coming to Fresh Air. So you wrote that song for your wife, Amanda Shires, who's also a musician and songwriter and singer. So I hope she liked it.
She did. She liked it a lot. She did. She wasn't my wife yet, and she's my wife now, so apparently she didn't hate it.
So part of the song is about getting sober and about how she helped you do that. Is it easier to write a really emotional, personal song like this that you said was difficult for you to write before? Is it easier to write it now being sober? Is that making a difference in the emotional quality of either your writing or your singing?
I think so. I think there's an openness that you really have to accept if you're going to make a change like that. You have to be all right with saying, I have weaknesses. And I think that was a big problem for me. You know, when I was still drinking, I thought I was kind of in control of everything in my life and other people's lives. And I realized at some point that that just was not the case at all. And I had to turn over some of that control. And I think it did make it easier for me to open up.
There's a song that's on your new album, Southeastern, that seems to me to be about, in part, about giving up alcohol and about making the journey back to being sober. It's called New South Wales. I'm going to ask you to perform that song for us, but first tell us the story behind the song.
This one, I'd gone over to Australia few years back with Justin Towns Earl. This is one of the older songs for the record, and actually he was the person going through that kind of struggle at that point. And he and I went over, just the two of us, and did a whole bunch of shows and raised a whole lot of hell and had a really great time. But when we got home, it sort of spiraled out of control for both of us, I think, after that. But that trip was just debaucherous in a whole lot of ways. And I wrote the song about that.
The song has a line, God bless the busted boat that brings us back. Listening to the song, I was thinking that was whatever it is that gets you back to sobriety or what brings you salvation or whatever. Mm-hmm. But am I misinterpreting that?
No, that's there too. That's also there. It's a concrete thing, but my wife hates it when I talk about allegory, but I guess that's what that is. She's in the middle of a bunch of James Joyce right now in graduate school, so the word allegory is not allowed in her house at this point.
Yeah. Would you do New South Wales for us?
Sure, yeah, I'll do that. Here we sit, across the table from each other, 1,000 miles from both our mothers, barely old enough to rust. And here we sit, pretending both our hearts are anchored, taking candy from these strangers amidst the diesel and the dust. And here we sit, singing words nobody taught us, drinking fire and spitting sawdust, trying to teach ourselves to breathe. We haven't yet, but every chorus brings us closer. Every flyer and every poster gives a piece of what we need. And the sand that they call cocaine cost you twice as much as gold. Be better off to drink your coffee black, but I swear the land it'll listen to the stories that we told. God bless the busted boat that brings us back. morning's rough. Don't give a damn about the mission. Has no aesthetic or tradition, only lessons never learned. I'd had enough. About a month ago tomorrow, parting holds no traces, sorrow for the bitter and the burn. In the piss they call tequila, even way I wouldn't drink. Well, I'd rather sip this Listerine I pack. But I swear we've never seen a better place to sit and think. God bless the busted boat that brings us back. Cocaine cost you twice as much as gold. You'd be better off to drink your coffee black. But I swear the land, it'll listen to the stories that we told. God bless the busted boat that brings us back. God bless the busted boat that brings us back.
That's Jason Isbell performing a song that's also on his new album. The new album is called Southeastern. As you say, you grew up in the Bible Belt. You grew up in Alabama. So religion was a big part of your house. What about the church and church singing?
Yeah, I went to church. My mom's family, they were Church of Christ, Southern Church of Christ. And my dad's family was Pentecostal. My grandfather was a Pentecostal preacher. And so there were two very, very different styles of church music coming at me. The Pentecostal church had a full band, and they were really loud. And then my mom's church, you know, you're forbidden to have musical instruments in the Church of Christ. So it was all voices. You know, I would get those two mixed up in my head every once in a while. And, you know, the Pentecostal church, like when you're supposed to pray, everybody prayed out loud at once. Everybody just said what they had to say. And then at the Church of Christ, it was very quiet, you know, and that wasn't the thing. And I remember one time I got them mixed up in my head, and when I was at the Church of Christ with my mom, it was time to pray, I just started yelling. I was probably 5 or 6 years old. I started yelling out all my prayer. Mom grabbed me by the hair. Don't do that. That's not here. That's the other place.
I want you to do another song from your new album. This is a song about cancer. Not that many people write songs about cancer. And I'd love for you to tell the story behind this song before you sing it, and if it's about somebody who you know.
I think the original inspiration for this, I used to spend a lot of time in this bar downstairs from the apartment I lived in Alabama before I moved up here to Nashville. And gradually, the regulars would start to disappear. And, you know, almost always it was cancer-related. You know, over time, there were probably 8 or 9 people who just would sort of vanish almost before your very eyes. And you know, these were people who weren't having the best life. They were spending a whole lot of hours sitting at a bar. But I think I got that idea, you know. I imagined a couple of folks who were drinking buddies, really. Nothing more than that. You know, how their relationship changed when one of them got sick. I have known a lot of people who, you know, have gotten cancer and died. I think everybody has at this point in time. But this one, you know, those two folks aren't necessarily people that exist out in reality.
So the song is called Elephant. Would you sing it for us?
Yes, I will.
Said, Andy, you're better than your past. Winked at me and drained her glass. Cross-legged on a bar stool like nobody sits anymore. She said, Andy, you're taking me home. But I knew she planned to sleep alone. I'd carry her to bed, sweep up the hair from the floor.
she got sick. I never hear the end of it. She don't have the spirit for that now. We drink our drinks and laugh out loud, bitch about the weekend crowd, and try to ignore the elephant somehow. She said, Andy, you cracked me up. Seagram's in a coffee cup. Sharecropper eyes and her hair almost all gone. She got drunk, she made cancer jokes. She made up her own doctor's notes. And surrounded by her family, I saw that she was dying alone. I'd sing her class country songs and she'd get high and sing along, but she don't have much voice to sing with now. We burn these joints in effigy, cry about what we used to be, try to ignore the elephant somehow.
That's Jason Isbell performing his song Elephant, a song that's also featured on his new album, Southeastern. So you have a song called Outfit that was first recorded by the Drive-By Truckers when you were with them. And the bridge is advice that your father used to give you. Would you just sing the bridge for us with the advice?
Okay, yeah. Don't call what you're wearing an outfit. Don't ever say your car is broke. And don't worry about losing your accent, cause a southern man tells better jokes. Have fun and stay clear of the needle. Call home on your sister's birthday. Don't tell them you're bigger than Jesus and don't give it away. Don't give it away.
So that's great. So why was he worried that you'd call what you were wearing an outfit?
yeah, that's I don't know. There were certain things that were pet peeves for my father. I think he did want me to be a certain level of masculine. That's probably where that came from. But I know that wouldn't cut a whole lot of weight nowadays. You can't really tell your kids stuff like that anymore, with good reason. But yeah, in those days, you could have probably gotten a black eye for saying, you know, something about your outfit at school.
And don't ever say your car is broke. I suppose,
right,
that's as opposed to broken.
No.
I thought it was correcting your grammar.
You should know what's wrong with it.
Oh, it's the alternator. It's the carburetor. New spark plugs,
exactly.
That kind of thing?
If you can at least know that much when you take it into the shop, you're not going to get run over as easily.
Well, that is good advice.
Singer-songwriter Jason Isbell speaking with Terry Gross earlier this year. His latest CD, Southeastern, was named Album of the Year by our rock critic Ken Tucker. I'm David Bean Cooley, and this is Fresh Air.